Amen. Megan is also part of our welcome and hospitality team. So sometimes you might just see her walking around here in the middle of the week. You can't imagine that comes out of her mouth. So just thank you, praise God, for your hospitality here as well as your voice. Praise God. Well, Merry Christmas. What a night. I'll tell you, tonight is a sacred and holy night, and I am so grateful that you all chose to come here and worship with us in spite of all the chaos and crazy that exists on Christmas Eve. Trust me, I have a 4 and a 6-year-old. I'm living it. My 4 and 6-year-old, we had a mountain, I think that's the right word, of presents. I think that's right. So we had my family Christmas yesterday. Then tomorrow morning, of course, we'll do our normal Santa things. And then we'll do our family Christmas, just the four of us at our house. And then we'll head to Houston and do another Christmas at that. Like, this is just the way multiple like families kind of go in this process. And so there's a lot of gift giving and a lot of things. And I'll tell you, it's really hard to keep a 4 and a 6-year-old focused on what matters, much less a 40 and 60 year old, right? Like, this season, it's so easy for us to get distracted. And the truth is, we rarely actually pay attention to the things that matter most in the moment. We almost always are better at understanding what matters most in the retrospect, looking backwards. So I was thinking, looking at my son, Sam, that when I was 6 years old, I remember almost none of the gifts I was given. You know what I remember? The people I was with. The things we did. I remember the car rides to North Central Kansas. I remember the games that we played, the cousins we hung out with. I do remember some of my Nerf toys, I'm not gonna lie. I remember about when I was 6 years old, they came out with a Nerf sword that, like, the hilt, you had to like poke out little sections of someone else's hilt of their sword. It broke because we're boys and that happened. But you know what I remember? It's not actually, I remember that so distinctly because I remember my brother in it. I remember that we played on a trampoline. You remember back when our parents let us almost kill ourselves every day when the trampolines, it didn't have the little like nets around them? Why? My mom let me do that. I have no idea, but they did. And we survived, I suppose. But I remember it not because of the stuff. Frankly, the stuff didn't last very long. And trust me, I'm looking at what my kids are getting. I'm going, it ain't gonna last very long. What they remember are the people. What I actually remember most from Christmas Eve's is the pastors and back here and honestly candles up to the third level. And I remember this feeling of love and kindness and all the rest of it. That's what I remember in retrospect. And yet so little of my time has been spent focused on what actually matters. So little of my time has been focused on the relationships when it ought to have been focused more on the people than the stuff. We do this a lot in our workplaces, in our lives, in our calendars, in our budgets. We do it all the time where we actually set for us an agenda that is less than what God wants for us, and we only realize it later. The best story of that I heard was actually recently on a podcast that I recorded. So I've got a podcast along with Julie Chisholm, one of our church members, lay leaders, and she and I co-host a podcast called Leading People, where our entire point is to help Christians lead people in Christian ways. And there are lots of different ways to do it. You've got public companies, private companies, sports world. It's a whole kind of smorgasbord of options for how you kind of merge your Monday through Friday with your Sunday morning faith. But recently I had perhaps the most interesting story because we interviewed Ted Scott, who's Scotty Scheffler's caddy. If you don't know who Scotty Scheffler is, he's a big deal in the golfing world. But before he was Scotty Scheffler's caddy, he was Bubba Watson's caddy. And Bubba Watson had won the Masters twice with Ted on the bag. And if you don't know anything about golf, just know Super Bowl Masters. Like, that's generally how I view this thing. It's like the greatest possible personal achievement is to win at Augusta National. And Bubba had won not once, twice. And about 2 weeks after his Second Masters win. Second, mind you, not the first. He calls up his caddy and doesn't even like say, hey, how you doing? Wasn't that cool? Bubba calls up. The only reason I feel comfortable telling this is his caddy told me on a podcast, so it's out there. But Bubba calls him and says, with no introduction, is this all there is? He goes, well, hi, Bubba. What's going on today? He goes, is this all there is? You mean I won two Masters and it doesn't feel any better than this? It doesn't last more than 2 weeks? Is that it? I'll tell you, 2 weeks after Christmas, I hope we don't have the same phone call. Is that all it was? A mountain of stuff, the stuff that's already broke, is that all that we did? Is that all that there is? But yet this is the conversation we humans have all the time about things we should have done or could have done or would have done if only we'd realized what mattered actually in the moment rather than just looking backwards. You know, the only thing that has lived up to its billing in my life? Having a kid. That first moment, like no one ever holds their baby for the first moment they hold their child and says, is that it? I mean, there are other feelings of complete joy and utter terror, and they let me take this thing home. Are you kidding me? I have no idea what I'm doing. I felt it the second time, and I knew what I was doing that time. But this moment where you hold this child, and actually you realize, uh-oh, this is bigger than anything I've ever done in my entire life. What do I do now? I've got to be a lot less selfish today than I was yesterday. I've got to think about things differently. I've got to navigate my life in a way where they look at me and I actually do what I say I am going to do. No one ever looks at a tiny baby and just says, is that it? And really, tonight, that's what I hope for you. Kim Myers last night at our first of these services asked me as I was coming in, she goes, you know, you've preached a lot of these. I've been on staff here as a pastor for 13 years. I've preached most of the Christmas Eve services over these last 13 years. And she asked me, kind of, is it weird to give the same message, or are you nervous, or any of the rest of that? And I said, you know, the truth is, everyone here has already heard a Christmas Eve message too. Very few of y'all are here for your first Christmas Eve sermon ever. And if you are, please come chat with us later. We'd love to have that conversation. But you've heard this story. I've heard this story. The question is, what's going to make this one different? Because here's the bad news. You are going to have the same problems walking out of here today that you had walking in. If you haven't done your Christmas gift shopping yet, it won't be done before you leave here today. If you've got issues with family members, don't say it out loud, that's rude since they're sitting next to you, but if you have issues with family members, you're still going to have them when you walk out the door. You're still going to be mid-fight, like you're going to go, hey, that was nice, baby Jesus is here. Okay, now what did you do? That's what life is like, isn't it? And yet my prayer to this tonight, my prayer is that this might be somewhat different in the way that we understand exactly how precious this tiny baby is. And this is not just some child, this is not just something, that this actually is the thing which has and is and will change the world. That this tiny baby is actually God. Or as the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 7, for lo, there will be a virgin who shall give birth to a child, and you shall name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Or as it says in Colossians, in the first chapter, starting with the 15th verse, that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, creator of all that is seen and unseen. He made all things, all rulers and powers and authorities and thrones, all things were made by him and through him and for him. He was before all things, and in him all things hold together. Or in the first chapter of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And you jump to the 14th verse, and it said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us and lived among us. Or Paul again, when he's in prison. He's in prison when he's writing his letter to the Philippians. He writes that he is in chains. And yet even in that, it says, I am joyful. And he says, he gives us an instruction. And I'm here to tell you, he is in a lot worse position than anyone else in this room tonight. And he said, let the same mind be in you that was in your Lord Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not consider equality with God, his power as God, as something to be exploited, but rather he emptied himself and made himself nothing. Made himself nothing. Just think about this. God had all that you could ever ask. Heavens and skies and moons and stars. He made it all. As one of my favorite Christmas songs says, the baby in her womb was the maker of the moon, that the God who made the moon chose to become flesh among us. He had all the stuff he could ever want. And you know what he didn't have? Us. It wasn't about all the stuff and all the creation. It was about you and me. He came down as a tiny baby so that you and I could see and hold and hear the face and the voice of God as a tiny little infant. And the challenge for us is that we get too distracted and there's never a minute, even just 1 minute, to sit and think about all that we have going on that is actually nothing. Things that we have strived for our whole lives, which are actually, in the end, nothing. And instead said, Lord, how do I follow you? God and his church will be here forever. That is something. So I'm going to give you that minute right now to pray about the things which you are striving for, which in the end are nothing, and ask for God to be with you, for you to seek out something that is permanent and forever through his child. Take a minute, I'll watch the time. The voices of tiny children that break the silence is exactly what I hope for you tonight. It is. This is what matters. Is that our God became as one of these. And I've met people for whom, I used to work for one, for whom everything in his life was oriented towards God and his purpose. And I want to challenge you to become one of those people, because this is what happens when the light of Christ is done right. When the light of Christ is done right, it comes from the Christ candle into one of us. You know people for whom they shared the light of Christ with you. And so what we're going to do is to try to be those people tonight who share the light of Christ from one to another to another. Keep in mind, the unlit candle is always the one that tilts. But would you stand and sing Silent Night?